Welcome to the Christ Community Church Montreat podcast. Kevin Allman here with Pastor Richard White. Welcome, Richard.
Good day there, Kevin.
It's time to ask the pastor.
Stump the pastor is right.
So we have a question for you, and this is an interesting question. This person says, I have a friend who practices Messianic Judaism, and in discussing with them their beliefs, I wonder why Protestants do not adhere to the Jewish law, knowing that it has, of course, no saving power, the law in and of itself, but still a command from God. And then he offers as a reference here John 14:15, where Jesus says, if you love me, you'll obey my commands. So there's a lot of context around that passage in John, but, what's the story here?
Wow, this is a huge question, and there's a lot of layers to it. Let me dive into the early church that wrestled very deeply with the question of how much of the Old Testament law do we have to still obey? So you're following Jesus, but you know what else do you have to do? And Acts chapter 15 was written, and basically they said no part of the Jewish law is required for Gentiles to believe. And it was so important because the New Testament wants to make very clear what Jesus was making clear, that he is the end of the law. Christ fulfills the law. Matthew chapter 5 talks about, do not think that I came to abolish the law. I have come to fulfill it. Well, what does that mean? He's come to fulfill all of its moral requirements, as well as all of its penal codes. It's all going to come to fulfillment in him through his death on the cross. He's the Lamb of God that's slain, and he perfectly kept God's law and received all of the punishments on our behalf. And so when Christ says the law is fulfilled, obviously there's the moral law that continues on, and we see that repeatedly in the New Testament, the commands, the moral commands. But all of the food, the dietary, the festivals, all of that went by the wayside in the New Testament period. And so you have this huge controversy in the New Testament church of, these Gentiles, they need to be circumcised, because, hey, God made this covenant with Abraham. And, if we're going to be faithful people of God and of this covenant community, well, they need to be circumcised. And the church shut that down and said, no, even the marking in the flesh has been changed now. And there is something new in Jesus, and it was baptism. The reference here to John 14 about if you love me, you'll keep my commandments, very interesting, from the perspective of the 613 laws of the Old Testament summarized into two laws: you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbors yourself. Jesus reduced it still to one commandment. And the audacity of Jesus, I mean, what he says there had to blow the minds of these apostles at the Last Supper, because he says, a new commandment I give you. Who does Jesus think he is? Giving a new commandment? You think you're greater than Moses? And even Moses didn't really give the commandments. God gave the commandments. Who do you think you are? Well, this is God in human flesh speaking to us. This is the one who's come to fulfill the law, and now he gives a new commandment. I mean, in the whole Old Testament law summed up in this one thing: love one another as I have loved you. That is now the standard. That's the commandment we're all to obey. And so, everything else goes by the wayside. It does. The book of in Paul's letter to the Corinthians, actually his second letter, he says in chapter 3, he says, where is this here? chapter 3, verse 11, for if what was being brought to an end came with glory, and he's talking about the law and how it came with glory, you know, Moses' face glowed. But if what was being brought to an end came with glory, much more will what is permanent have glory. Mm. And so what Christ has done is he's brought something new. But the language is so explicit here. Brought to an end. There's a period put on the Old Testament law through Jesus Christ. It's fulfilled. We no longer have to observe it. Another just very, very strong is Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews 7 talks about, again, a lot about the law. And in Hebrews 7, we read, get to this here. On the one hand, a former commandment is set aside. This is talking about, Jesus and the priesthood and Melchizedek and all that. But on the one hand, a former commandment is set aside because of its weakness and uselessness, for the law made nothing perfect. That's the problem with the law. It only had power to condemn us, not to save us. And so, I mean, the language here is, again, it's explicit, it's powerful, that the law is weakness and uselessness mm-hmm. of the law. That's why, and so for the law made nothing perfect. But on the other hand, a better hope is introduced through which we draw near to God. And this better hope is Jesus and what he's done. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, when we talk about messianic Christianity, I'm all for, Jewish people, if they still want to observe their traditions, go for it. I think that's great. But there is no value in those things apart from Christ. There's just no value. There's nothing there that recommends us to God or brings us to a place that we're doing it right or doing it better if we observe any of these Jewish traditions or laws, customs, and just again to underscore this, and I'm not trying to belittle anybody who's into Messianic Judaism. I'm not. I go for it. Great. I've been to Seder feasts, and it's you can learn things from that. And I think so on that level. There are things we can learn and appreciate and maybe see as insights how this points to Christ. And I think that's there's value there.
What you're specifically saying, I want to make sure this is clear, is there's no saving power in that.
And that's what the person asking the question has said.
Absolutely. It's all in Jesus. And there could even be some practical benefit to some parts of that law. Just like, do I have to cut the grass? No. What happens if I don't? It gets tall and looks bad and it's hard to walk through. Is it better for me to cut the grass? Yeah. In that regard, it's practical.
Right.
Do I have to? No. Is it kind of like that there are some things that maybe have practical benefit, but the point is, there's no saving power there.
There's no saving power, nor is there, if I go back and obey these Old Testament laws, then, and see, here's the real danger, because sometimes we think, then God will love me more, then these will recommend me more to God, or then I'll really be a Christian, then I'll really have my act down. And I just think that's dangerous, because it's going back to legalism. To justify ourselves, the way that's a way backwards. There's a way forwards, from Colossians, Paul says in Colossians chapter 2, therefore let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink, or with regard to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath. These are a shadow of the things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. We want to be so careful that we're not judging ourselves or others on the basis of what we eat or drink mm-hmm. or observing this kind of festival or that. I'm a better Christian because, I'm messianic or something. No, you're not. those things do not recommend us mm-hmm. to God. What's so interesting in Colossians is, I mean, he comes down, he gets very pointed in chapter 3, verse 11. Here there is not Jew and Greek, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Mm. It does not matter anymore what your heritage is, what your religious background is, what your race is. All that matters is Christ. And, you know, so these barbarians, these Scythians, Scythians were a brutal lot that, I won't go into all the dastardly things they did in battle. And, they were a really awful, awful group of people. But now here they are in the church at Colossae. And, you have the Scythians. One of the jokes was that they never took a bath. And so now the Scythians are taking care of the babies in the nursery. What? they should wash. They should, probably wasn't that bad here. But but the idea was all these divides. And we naturally do that. We get our tribe and we think our tribe's better than the other tribes. And if we only did these things, and so we end up adding to Christ. My concern and the way forward I would recommend is Colossians 3:12, where he's just said, there's no Jew or Greek, circumcised, uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, Christ is all. Put on then, okay, now here's where he's going to say, here's what you need to be about. Here's what your focus should be, what your community should be about. It's not put on then, a ritual, or put on then, a tradition, put on then anything other than this. As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, put on compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if anyone has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord forgave you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And so again, what is it that Jesus has done? He's fulfilled the Old Testament law. The wrath of God against sin has been satisfied. And now this message of grace is extended to Jew and Gentile alike, and very strange and odd people are coming into the church as this one new man, something very different. It is a people of Jesus Christ, a holy God's chosen ones, a holy and beloved in Christ. And so, what is our focus? Well, it's these virtues of Jesus. Mm-hmm. That's what we should be so much more concerned with putting on in our relationships with one another and how we deal with one another. So all that said, there's nothing wrong with going to a Seder feast or learning about Jewish festivals and feasts, as long as we are not in any way approaching this, well, you're a better Christian if. Mm-hmm. No. You're a better Christian if you're in Jesus and you're loving barbarians and Scythians, very different people, because you've put on the compassion of Christ and the humility of Christ. Mm-hmm. And it's all of this character of Christ that we're putting on and living out in our relationships. Yeah. So I don't know if that answers the question.
Like you said, it's a big topic.
Yeah.
But that's very helpful. Will you pray for us?
Well, and let me just extend it one other way, because, it's not just, somebody might say, man, Richard's kind of beaten up on this whole thing, Messianic Judaism or something. I'm not. I mean, I happily turn the guns on, Reformed faith, Well, you're not a real Christian unless you're a Reformed Christian, mm-hmm. unless you get all the doctrines of grace and you got your theology down, and, or we could look at charismatic Christians, social justice Christians. Yeah. I mean, we are so quick to say Christ plus this means you're a real Christian. Mm-hmm. And in the New Testament, Paul in particular shuts that down. Christ is all, period. And so how do we move in the virtue of Christ and his character? And that's what's important. Yeah. Well, let's pray.
Thank you.
Father in heaven, Lord, this is a really important question. And without dismissing, Lord, the good things of culture and the freedoms we have, Lord, help us to embrace the good things of other cultures and certainly Jewish heritage. But Lord, may our feet be planted firmly in Jesus Christ and him alone as Lord of salvation, our life, and the one in whom we find depth and just this growth in what it means to be a man or woman of God. And we would bless you, Father, as you would move in our midst, as you would pour your Holy Spirit out upon us. You'd knit us together as those who love Jesus and love one another sincerely from the heart, and so fulfill this new commandment of Christ, the love as we have been loved by him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.